Located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. At a press conference today at the White House, President Trump blamed Democrats and what he called left-wing politicians for the destruction in cities like Chicago, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and Portland, Oregon.
The violence is fueled by dangerous rhetoric from far-left politicians that demonize our nation and demonize our police. We have to allow our police to do what they're very good at doing. We've taken that power away. They're afraid to lose their pension, their job, their everything. They're afraid to be destroyed.
Mr. Trump also said that in president opponent Joe Biden's campaign remarks in Pittsburgh today, he didn't mention the fact that far-left agitators were responsible for the violence. Meanwhile, Oregon State Police will patrol Portland's nightly protests with help from officers from neighboring communities seeking to tamp down on vandalism and violence following the fatal shooting of a Trump supporter as the city approaches 100 consecutive nights of Black Lives Matter violent demonstrations. The first commercial flights from Israel to the United Arab Emirates have landed, marking a major step in normalizing relations after the announcement of a peace deal.
Today's three-hour flight has taken more than 70 years to make, and it marks a turning point in relations between Israel and the Arab world. On the tarmac, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner described it as an historic journey. The El Al jet also became the first Israeli airliner to fly over Saudi Arabia, which still does not formally recognize Israel. But the Palestinians believe the deal breaks years of Arab solidarity against Israel's occupation of land they want for a future state. They have called it a betrayal.
That's BBC correspondent Tom Bateman reporting from Jerusalem. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 223 points, but the NASDAQ rose 79. More at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Layoffs, forced early retirement, more of a reality in 2020, and it's hitting close to home. It's time to take control and stay on your retirement trajectory. Shore up your strategies with a written retirement plan, a financial roadmap from Coach Pete and the team. This is a limited-time offer for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation. Call 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text COACH to 21000, COACH to 21000. The first 10 callers will receive a copy of Coach Pete's book, 7 Baby Steps to a Ridiculously Reliable Retirement Income.
Listen to Newsflash Daily for your up-to-date local news, brought to you by Mr. Law. Call Mr. Law now at 702-233-3334. Your authority for personal injury, divorce, and probate cases. Peter Mortensen and Darius Raffi are responsible for the content of this ad.
Whatever's on your mind, it's always best to talk about it.
I like talk radio.
Great you're talking about this. This is a great day.
You've got to listen to talk radio, and you've got to rise up.
Can we just talk?
AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
It's 404. This KMCQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, specializing in divorce, personal injury, and bankruptcy. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada's moratorium on evictions, which was to expire tomorrow, has been extended by 45 days. Governor Sisolak announced the extension will allow counties to pay out short-term rental assistance to landlords and give courts more time to implement a new mediation program and more time to reduce the backlog of unemployment claims. The governor will hold a 5 p.m. news conference today to announce further details. 18,000 of MGM Resorts employees are out of jobs beginning today. They got notice of those layoffs on Friday. The letter from company CEO and President Bill Hornbuckle blamed the layoffs on the ongoing impacts of the COVID-19 outbreak. The layoffs were first made public through a legal notice posted by the company in May. Company officials say they hope to bring back laid-off workers once business demand warrants it. Clark County plans to administer up to 60,000 COVID-19 tests over the next couple of weeks. The new Stop, Swab, and Go program will offer free drive-through and self-performed nasal swab testing between today and September 18th. The testing will happen at the Fiesta Henderson, Texas Station, and Sam Boyd Stadium. You can go to doineedacovid19test.com.
KZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Well, quick glance. Slow flows right now through the Spaghetti Bowl. 515 eastbound at Main, you'll tap the brakes there, and that's causing a little residual slowing on that transition ramp as you leave Interstate 15 north to go 515 east towards Henderson.
Washington, D.C., I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil, a lot of bad people. A lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four,
hang on, hang on. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. All across Southern Nevada, it is live and local now. This hour brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. You could even do it right now. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. So happy to have State Senator Scott Hammond with us from Nevada 18, and he joins us. And first thing I've got to ask, the governor has a news conference scheduled for 5 o'clock this afternoon. He says he's going to talk about the Nevada residential eviction moratorium that I guess is going to get extended 45 days. Anything more that you think he's going to cover, any COVID-19 stuff, coronavirus stuff that we need to know about?
Well, first of all, Kevin, good to be on the program again. It's been a week, and you know, a lot of things have happened. We're going to be listening here to the governor pretty soon. The eviction probably on the first on his docket. I really don't know. I think that maybe he's going to share with us some of the news coming out. I wish he'd share more of what comes out of the CDC and the report that comes out of the CDC, because there's just a lot of information in there that I just don't think a lot of people get or don't bother to look at the report. But you talk to the doctors, there's a lot of really good stuff coming out of the CDC. Numbers that would astound you, the number of cases related to COVID, the direct deaths related to COVID, and so forth. So I don't know if he'll actually talk about that, but I certainly will expect him to be talking about what he's trying to do to keep people in their homes.
Does it bother you that he keeps making these decisions, whether it's COVID-19 related or the residential eviction moratorium, that he keeps doing this stuff unilaterally without any impact? You correct me if I'm wrong on this, but any impact with the legislature?
Well, absolutely, it bothers me. Matter of fact, the last day of the second special session, Republicans put out there a proclamation. We asked for Democrats to sign on that would have addressed the directives and the emergency powers that the governor has, any governor. You know, so if you're a Democrat and you're worried about the future and how much power a governor has, that would have been a perfect opportunity to sit down and say, okay, let's have a third special session one day only, look at this. We had some ideas, very much like the president and his War Powers Act, where he has a certain number of days. He could say that, like, I'm going to send troops in harm's way, and then we can have a review of the legislature afterwards. I think that with the directives, he has a certain amount of days. And then after that, you know, we have to look at it and say, is it emergency? I mean, is this something that needs to go on? But allow the legislature to look at whatever directive you have out there. You know, I think that 30 days to make it a direct, you know, put a directive out there and then live by that directive for 30 days, if it's an emergency, that's plenty of time. And then allow the checks and balances to happen. We're going to put that bill forward in the next legislative session, and we'll see who kills it off, or if it goes all the way through.
As far as the COVID-19 stuff, I keep hearing that we're having a reduction in numbers and that things are getting better here in the state of Nevada. Have you been tracking that much, are we doing a better job?
Yeah, the numbers are coming down. And I talked to a doctor today, and he's telling me that the same thing, that the numbers are coming down. The hospital, I usually check in with them. I haven't had a hospital association. I haven't had a call back from them. The real numbers that I look at are, you know, the number of beds, how many ventilators are being used, you know, what's the capacity. I mean, because that's what we kind of want to make sure that we keep an eye on. Because I know a lot of people who do get the virus, but literally they have a fever for a day and then they move on. And I'm not downplaying it. I totally understand people who have gone through this, and it's different for everybody. It can be devastating, you know, to death. And we understand that. But for many people, that less than 1%, that's what we're talking about. But for the 99%, it really is a cold that causes some discomfort for a few days, and then, you know, they move on.
Against Scott Hammond, state senator, Nevada District 18, joining us. And, you know, we're all trying to rebound from the COVID-19 virus. And, you know, even if we're doing a better job, do you expect the governor to ease up on us, to open us up a little bit more?
Oh, I expect it. I mean, I think what we're seeing now is sort of a backlash on some of the states and some of the policies that are coming. Where, you know, they're basically hampering everything, you know, the economy, the schools, everything. I just don't think that this is a winning. If this is a policy strategy, it's not a winning policy strategy. You know, whereas maybe a month or 2 months ago, you might have seen, you know, half the population, 50% saying let's keep everything, you know, online for schools, and the other half saying go back to school. I think it's shifted big time. Look, I was at a rally last week. And I would have to say that a large majority of people, not only here in Las Vegas, but throughout the state, are saying, we've got to get the kids back into school. And I'm not saying that get them back to school, you know, however, it's, you know, definitely safe, definitely with a good policy in mind, thinking about the health and safety of everybody, but put a plan together. Get something in the works. We're starting to put some of these kids back to school.
You mentioned a rally, the Power to Parent rally last Thursday at 5:30. You were very much a part of it. You spoke at the rally. Can you talk a little bit about the crowd and what you experienced?
Well, I certainly can. You know, there was a large crowd. There was over 200 people there. And again, we had to stand on the sidewalk. And so that, you know, there wasn't a lot of room. So they were spread out all over the place. But great speakers. You know, we had people there who were really talking about kids with special needs. Special education, they're just not getting the services that they need. And this is a direct result of not having an education plan in place that is ready to help those kids with the individual education plan, the IEPs that people talk about a lot. They're just not getting it. And there was an expert there who said this is not happening. We had people there talking about the mental health, not only of kids, but, you know, they also have suggestions for some of the parents who are going through some struggles as we're quarantined these many months. And on top of that, you know, I had a meeting this past Friday, Child Welfare and Juvenile Justice, where we sat down at an interim committee meeting the legislature had, and we talked to experts here in the Valley, and you know what? There's two things that were not on my thought process, but now are. One, the number of kids who we were trying to keep them away from the school-to-prison pipeline, well, that being exacerbated by the fact that we didn't even know where some of these kids were very, you know, very much struggling before the pandemic. They haven't even bothered to show up for school. They're just not keeping track of them. So that in itself is going to be a problem going forward. And then the next one is, the school district used to be the ones who would submit lots of reports to child welfare about the condition, the safety of children in certain homes. There's a lot of reports coming in. They haven't had any reports coming in for months and months. I know that normally over the summer months, those reports go down because, the kids aren't in school. But they're just not coming in like they used to. And so there's going to be an uptick in the number of child abuse cases, but we can't identify them. We don't know where they are, and nobody's looking out for them.
Do we know through week one what the attendance figures were like during week one? Do we know what the absentee rate was?
Well, we do know that there were a lot of students who didn't even check in. I think I'm looking at my stats right now. There were over 300,000 students that should have been logged onto Canvas for learning, and yet only a little over half are reported as having been logged in for the entire school day, and that was in the first day or two of last week when the schools opened up. And then I think it was about, we're still 20,000 devices short, and there's 20,000 devices short of having enough for everybody to be able to get online. 68,000 students that didn't even connect, so they didn't even know where they were. They basically not attending. They had them as listed as not attending. So that right there tells you that they don't quite have a handle on doing distance ed like this. And I'm not saying distance education is bad. For some people who deliver education this way, they've been doing it a long time. They've got it down pat. It's a little different right now, and I don't think that the quality is what we need. So I just don't want this to be a throwaway year, Kevin. I want to see students progress, and that's one of the things I'm worried about. And the best way to do that is to try and figure out how to get more of them right now in classes where they're face-to-face with teachers. Even if we're starting with some of the kids with needs, let's do it.
Who should be blamed for this? I mean, when you say the 20,000 kids either don't have Wi-Fi or don't have the Chromebooks or are just not reporting in, we've known that this was going to happen. We knew that school was going to begin August 10th or August 24th, but we knew. Why are we still 20,000 Chromebooks down?
They did order them. They're on back order. I mean, that's the reality of CCSD. You try to get them. It's just that when a lot of other places across the country are ordering them at the same time, there's going to be a backlog. So that's one thing. But, the reality is for hotspots and connecting to Wi-Fi, we saw, I think, in Kentucky that the government there said they're going to use $800 million of CARES Act money to try and beef up the Wi-Fi system there in Kentucky. Nobody was talking about that here. And that should be. I think there was a letter that went out from the Department of Education suggesting that we really figure this out, beefing this up. So they knew it's a problem, but it's about putting the right kind of money. And there's still plenty of CARES Act money. Matter of fact, one of the things that Republican senators said during the special session, the first one, the 31st one, when we're talking about the budget, we actually suggested that we put money, CARES Act money, into education for a variety of reasons. One was to actually, and this is one of the things I talked about on Thursday at the Power to Parents rally, this ought to be a choice. If there are teachers out there who want to get back in the classroom, and they exist. There are students, and there are teachers who want to get back in the classroom. If they want to get in there, give them a hazard pay. Give them an incentive to get back in and get these students taught. But the same thing, we could be putting money towards Wi-Fi. We could be doing a lot of things that get the classrooms cleaned and prepared and health-wise, because I know a lot of people are talking about that as well. But you know what? The biggest thing that we did that's going to hurt the ability of the schools to open was not including schools in that liability protection. And that was from the teachers union. They're the ones who pushed for that. They wanted the language, they wanted the schools taken out of the language so that they would have leverage to negotiate and bargain and try and figure out whatever they wanted. That's exactly what happened. And so once you took them out of that language, there's just no way the public schools could open. And even charter schools are going to have a hard time opening when they are now open to all kinds of liability well, they're not protected for any kind of liability that might come their way.
Yeah, that and that's something the legislature, in its infinite wisdom, did, which makes absolutely no sense. Scott Hammond joining us, Nevada District 18 State Senator. We'll talk about what was an amazing four nights of entertainment and the difference between the horrible Democrat convention coverage. And what we saw last week. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall, Scott Hammond alongside as we continue. It's a Monday edition on AM 670 KMZQ.
Sometimes it's asking a little too much.
We are going to need to all be practicing the best behavior possible.
AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Sun Country Heating and Cooling is a premier certified independent trained dealer that can fix or replace your broken AC system with an unbeatable combination of low-cost repairs and high-efficiency systems. We've installed more high-efficiency trained systems than any trained dealer since 2004. We are a family-owned and operated heating and cooling company. When it's 110 degrees outside and your cooling system fails, you can count on Sun Country Heating and Cooling for fast service. 702-617-8159. That's 702-617-8159.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Are you in need of a healthcare program? Well, you're in luck. As a member of Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community that comes together to share their medical expenses. You can sign up throughout the year, with membership starting as early as the following month, and there are no contracts and no commitments. Programs start as low as $349 per month, and there's no network, so you can choose your own doctors and hospitals. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry, not insurance, so your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing that you're part of a community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear another's burdens. To find out more, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. That's libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall, or call 855-58-LIBERTY.
Laborers Union Local 872 is committed to ensuring the safety and health of their workforce. Here are five recommendations to keep you and everyone safe on the job site. Perform a self-assessment before arriving on the job site. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Keep your distance. Adhering to the regulations and limit large group interactions. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor. St. Jude is helping us put away our fears. We have an amazing team that fights for the best outcome for Braxton. He has the best chance here. I don't have to worry that how much is that bag of fluid going to cost me? Can I afford it to save my child's life? The donations, they're paying for me to live every day with my son, be stress-free, and enjoy every day with him. I wish there was a word bigger than thank you, more close to the heart, because thank you's not enough. They've given me hope. They've given me my son.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
You got to love it. I keep thinking back to last week and just the amazing performance of the Republican National Committee. They did such an amazing job at putting on that. Do you think that the convention changed any minds? I mean, we always talk about independents and undecideds and all of that. By the way, Scott Hammond joining a state senator, Nevada District 18. You think it changed any minds?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, going into this convention, I think that The numbers were not as favorable for the president and the Republican Party, and I think coming out of it, we have gained a tremendous amount. Matter of fact, I keep seeing one poll after another that indicate that what you saw at the Republican convention was really this is what the president is running for. This is what we're standing for right now, and pretty much in complete contrast with the Democrats, where of course the Democrats are hiding in different places. They're pat. They basically are saying there's got to be social change right now, and that the COVID is killing people, and we can't be doing anything. And that's kind of their platform right now. And there's a stark difference between them and right now the Republican Party coming out of this convention. We're seeing numbers bumping up, trending upwards for Republicans almost everywhere.
One of the best stories to come out of there was John Ponder. He's going to join us at 5:05. Obviously, being a state senator, I'm guessing that at some point you have your paths have crossed. What do you think of John Ponder and the amazing story, Hope for Prisoners?
I think he's wonderful. I mean, I know that every state has, and yes, my paths have crossed with John several times. I've been associated with Hope for Prisoners for many years now. I've spoken there several times at his graduations. He's an inspiration, and I know that every municipality out there, I know that they've had police forces from Milwaukee, from Dallas, from other states and cities coming out here to kind of look at what they do, Hope for Prisoners and Metro, and that relationship that they have. And I know that they would love to be able to scale that, and they can, but you also have to be able to scale the kind of personality that you get with a John Ponder. That they might find even more, find it very difficult to do. But you have to have somebody like John Ponder running that thing, and that's not easy to duplicate. And what a wonderful moment for him, his family, his young daughters, just tremendous to be in to get a pardon from the president all these years later. And he just has done so much for our community. I'm so grateful that this happened for him.
Is that the kind of program that does get state dollars? I know the state gives a lot of money out to various organizations, including probably, I'm just guessing, Planned Parenthood. Is this the kind of program that can or should be given state dollars?
It does not, as a matter of fact. And should it? Yeah. Matter of fact, the last two sessions, I've actually proposed legislation that put out parameters that if you're an organization and you do X, Y, and Z, then you should qualify for state dollars, so that what we're doing is we're allowing them to have a certain amount of money from the state, but they're still out there making money, getting donations. It's the win-win, right? Because this organization, Kevin, does so much to hold the recidivism down for folks coming out of the system. They give a hope to them, which is exactly what their name is, Hope for Prisoners, and they do such a fantastic job that the state actually saves money. And so if any kind of program like what you see with Hope for Prisoners and others like them, as a matter of fact, there's one up north, another one down here that's trying to get going. When you see the passion behind the folks who run these organizations, and, John Ponder is the guy who's lived it. He knew what it was like to have no hope, and then he knew exactly that moment it happened when he was incarcerated, what needed to happen in his life and how he needed to change it, and he does it for everybody else now. Then those are the kind of people who are going to be able to run an organization effectively. There's passion behind that, and I don't mind. Matter of fact, that's why I introduced the bill twice now. I just couldn't get Democrats to get on board with it. And so, I'm going to take another shot at that because I think it's a worthwhile program. And again, they save us money. They save us a ton of money because they do it, and they do it right.
As you look ahead, are there other programs like this or other initiatives that you've been able to lay out saying, when we do get back and when we do come to our next session, I'm going to really push for this. Is there anything out there that's on your early wish list?
Well, there's a couple programs I've kind of sponsored for a couple sessions. In schools, I really love any kind of leadership program, and there's several different kinds. I know at a couple of the charters I've been at, they've really concentrated on Leader in Me. Leader in Me can be found in public schools, charter schools, and many others. It's a leader, sort of a lighthouse school. I mean, I always felt like if we had a grant program, that if the schools raise this amount of money, the state should be putting this amount of money in uh, to a one-to-one match kind of thing. And the reason why I like that is because you have to teach students leadership skills. And it's not a core class, but it's something that you can teach all day in all the classes, really, having the students do it. And that's what I love about some of the leadership programs.